Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Vav. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Israel Rosansky Yisrael Ben Henach HaKohen, and also for Fega Nechama Bas Rav Gedalia. All the Nishmas we learn from our learning. Okay, we pick up in the Gemara on the very top line, the end of the first line on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Yesterday we had asked the question, for which we gave two answers to already, as to how come there is no mitzvah of Yibum in a woman who unfortunately was suspected of having committed infidelity and was not able to drink the mei sota, and therefore she was not allowed to be with her husband. She had to be divorced from her husband. So if her husband passed away before they actually got divorced, so she would fall yibum if they didn't have children to her former brother-in-law, her husband's brother. And we said that you can't do yibum, but you must do chalitza. So the Gemara gave us several terutzim for why this is true yesterday, and now we start off today. The Ikud Diami, the end of the top line, Vavum and Aleph, with the following reason. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef tells us, HaKosuv Kiro Acher. Remember we had the Pasuk yesterday, where we said, Yotzah mi beiso, the woman has to leave her husband, when Rachmanu Litzlan, she was a Vaday Sota, she's not allowed to live with her husband, V'holcho V'hoiso Li'ish Acher, but she is allowed to go and get married to someone else. Now we call that person the Ish Acher. And that's what Rav Yosef tells us. We're calling this man Acher. In other words, they didn't call him to a second husband, but they said to a other husband, Acher, implying She'ein ben zugo shel rishon, implying that he's not at the same level, not of the same quality as the first husband. It's Rashi tells us in the Dibur Maska, Nises Acher, Shigarsha Rishon, the first husband, divorced her. Why? Shemotzu ba'ervas dover. Nebuch, he found out that she had committed adultery, and he got rid of her. He divorced her, because that's not the type of wife that a person should have. So therefore, Shezeh Hotzi Rishah Midei. So the first husband got rid of the Rishah, this woman who had committed infidelity, this woman who committed adultery, so he got rid of her. And this Acher, this second husband, the new husband, albeit he's allowed halachically to marry her, took such a woman into his life. He brought this Rishol L'toch Beso, the At Amris Tisyabe Name Yabume. So we obviously speak about him in a negative way. So this person who's the Yavam, you expect him to have to do Yibam with such a woman? The Torah demands that he do Yibam with such a woman? Obviously not. If we call the second husband, who's halachically allowed to marry her, a person who's an Acher, he's considered a negative compared to the first husband, so certainly we can't expect, the Torah can't expect that Yavam to go and take this woman in Yibam. So Amalei Abaye, again, yesterday he had questioned Rav Yosef and the other Terutzim, so Abaye questions Rav Yosef over here, he's Rabbi, and he says, Elamayata, so why then Niseis Li'acher, when this woman who had committed adultery did get divorced, did go marry somebody else, and then that husband dies, Umeis below bottom, so her new husband dies without children, we do say that she falls Yibum. So are you suggesting, Lotus Yabim, she shouldn't fall Yibum to the second husband's brother? Because the hakos of kro acher, so are you suggesting that that's dalacha? That's not true. She certainly does fall yibum to the second husband's brother. So how, Rav Yosef, can you say that the first husband doesn't do yibum because the second husband is called acher, implying it's not good to take this rishon into your house? So just like the first husband isn't allowed to do yibum, we should say the second husband shouldn't do yibum as well. So Rav Yosef tells Abaye, no, gabei in regards to the second husband and his, when he dies, his brother who does yibum, the Yavam, Gabe Dahai, to that person, Miha, Bishem Tov, Havakaima. Nevertheless, in regards to him, there was no infidelity. Maybe she did tshuva. There was no reason to suspect that she wasn't a good wife to the second husband. And therefore, even though the second husband is called Acher, that he brought such a Rishah into his house, maybe she changed. Maybe he saw that she was doing tshuva. And therefore, when Rachman al-Islam, the second husband, dies, so his brother, the Yavam, is allowed to do Yibam. But the first husband, the one who divorced her because of infidelity, so in this situation, if he dies before the actual divorce occurs, so we don't allow that Yavam to do Yibam. We do, as we pointed out yesterday, require Chalitza, because the first husband had to give her a divorce, so certainly the Yavam would have to give her Chalitza. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rava says the reason why we don't allow Yibum is the Kal v'Chomer. What's the Kal v'Chomer? Im Nesra b'Mutula. If she is Asura now, this woman who is suspected to be a Sota, and she can't drink the Mei Sota for whatever the reason, so she is now forbidden to stay with her husband, so he originally was her husband, and he was Mutula. So if in this situation she now was Asura to the person who previously was Mutula, so certainly to the one who was previously Asa to her, her brother-in-law, be Asura, lo kol shekhen, that she should be forbidden to him. So if she's not allowed to stay married to her husband, so certainly she's not allowed to go and do Yibam with the husband's brother, should the husband die before he divorces her. That's the Kal v'chomer that Rav wants to make. Amar Abai, Abai says, that's not a good Kal v'chomer, because El Rayata, based upon what you're saying, what happened if a Kohen Gadol married a woman, Shekidesh Esu Amona Umeis? A Kohen Gadol did Kiddushin with an Amona. He didn't actually live with her, so she's not a Chalala, but the marriage is also, the Kohen Gadol has to marry Besulami Amavi Kachi Shah. He's not allowed to marry a Amona. A regular Kohen can marry an Amona. He just can't marry a Grusha or a Chalutza. However, he is allowed to marry an Amona, but a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amona. So here you have the Kohen Gadol who was Mekadesh the Amona, and then he died, Umeis. So the woman is not a Chalola because he didn't have relations with her. Now, obviously, they died childless because they didn't have relations. V'yeshlo och Kohen Hedjo. Now, he has a brother who's a regular Kohen. It's not the Kohen Gadol. And in this situation, are you telling me, Lotus Yabin, based upon this Kal v'chomer that you just gave us? Because im nevesra b'mutala, if she is asura to the one that she's, quote, permitted to the Kohen Gadol, more or less a moment, but she's not permitted to him. But right now, this is what he's saying is the question on the Kal v'chomer. If she's now asura b'mutala, if this widow, the almana of this Kohen Gadol, who on some level she was permitted to, so the asura then certainly his brother, who she was asura to because of the Isser of Eishes Ach, lo kol shekhen, then certainly she shouldn't be allowed to do Yibum with him. However, that's not true. She technically is allowed to Yibum with him. The Gemara we learned in Yevamos not that long ago on Daf Pei Dalet said that there are certain situations where the woman is actually asura to her husband, but would be muteris to the Yavam. And this would be one of them. She is muteris to the Yavam because she wasn't a Chalola. She wasn't allowed to marry the Kohen Gadol as an Amana, but since the marriage wasn't consummated, she wasn't the Chalola, and therefore, in this situation, she is permissible to the Yavam. So based upon your Kal v'chomer, Rava, that shouldn't be the case, but the halacha is that she is permitted to the Yavam. But Rava says, there's two problems with your question to me. He says, are you telling me Nesra, now she became prohibited to the Kohen Gadol? Ha Asira v'kaima. What are you talking about that she was now forbidden to the Kohen Gadol? She was always forbidden to the Kohen Gadol. There never was a permissible moment for her to go and marry this Kohen Gadol. That's number one. So, Ha'asira v'kaima, the Issa was already there. So you're telling me, Mutula? It doesn't make any sense. Asulahu, she was always Asa to him. So Rava is saying, there is no Kal v'chomer over here. This woman was always forbidden to marry him, and she was never Mutu to him. So how can you compare that to your case, where you have the woman who really originally was permitted to her husband, Nebuch, she then committed an infidelity. She now became Asura to him. So therefore, why should the Yavam, that Kal v'chomer, not be a good Kal v'chomer? As we had pointed out, if she was originally Imnesra b'mutala, she became Asura to the one that she was originally Mutu to. So certainly to the one that she was originally Asa to, her brother-in-law, when it was in Isra v'Eshesach, when she was married, so then lo kol shekhen. So certainly she'd be Asura to him, and the Yibam shouldn't be allowed. So therefore, Rava says, my Kal v'chomer is a perfectly good Kal v'chomer. So the word says, no, this is really the kasha that Abai is asking on Rava. Ella, Eishes Kohen Shenensa. Here we're talking about a regular Kohen who is living peacefully with his wife, but then Rachmon al-Islam, the woman is an Anusa. She is raped. Now, in this situation, as tragic as it is, we said that she's not allowed to stay married to a Kohen. A regular Yisrael's wife who's raped, Rachmon al-Islam, so he's allowed to stay married to her. But the Kohen has a high Kedusha, and if the woman was Nebuch raped, so then he's not allowed to stay married to her. So this is a case where Ella, Eishes Kohen Shenensa, where she was originally, of course, Mutaris to her husband, but Nebuch, now that she's raped, so she's Asura to her husband. So Ela'esha's Kohen Shenensa, and then, before the husband could divorce her, Umeis, the husband dies, and now she falls Yibam. They didn't have children, she falls Yibam to her Yavam, the Kohen's brother, the one who she's married to. The Kohen had a brother. Now this brother, he, however, was not a Kashra Kohen, he was a Cholol. Now, a Cholol is allowed to marry a woman who is a Chalala. Now, she is, unfortunately, a raped woman, so another Kohen would not be allowed to marry her, but a Cholol would be allowed to marry her. V'yeshlo och Cholol, and therefore, in this situation, by your Kal v'chomer, you would say that she shouldn't undergo Yibam, but she's allowed to undergo Yibam. Are you saying Lotis Yabem because of this Kal v'chomer im Nesra b'mutula? If she now became Asura to the one, her husband, who she was originally Mutu to, but Nebuch, she was then raped, so now she's Asura to him. So then, Baruch Kav Chomer, certainly, but also to her brother-in-law, the Yisraveh Sach, while her husband is alive, she was originally also to him. Lo Kol Shekein, that she should stay also to him, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is that the Ach, who's the Chalo, is allowed to go and marry her. He is allowed to undergo Yibum with her. So therefore, your Kav Chomer is wrong. So again, Rava says, no, my Kav Chomer is fine. Ones B'Yisrael Mishra Shari. Rahman al-Islam, if a regular Yisrael's wife is raped, so he's allowed to go and live with her. And therefore, this Chalol brother, he has the halachic status of a regular Yisrael. V'gabe dahai mi'oleka isura. In regards to this brother, there is no Isra over here. So therefore, this case is totally different than the case of Rahman al-Islam, the woman who had committed infidelity. She is Asura to her husband. And that Isra, therefore, applies to the other as well. But here, the Isra that this husband, the Kohen, unfortunately is not allowed to stay married to his wife who was never raped, so that doesn't apply to his brother. And the brother, who is a Cholol in this situation, is allowed to marry her, and therefore Yibum is allowed in that situation if Rahman al-Islam, the Kohen husband, died. As Rashi points out in Dibur Maaseh Lek Isur, he says, the Etzlo, according to the Och Cholol, who had to gomer, he is allowed, he has no prohibition whatsoever to go and do Yibum with her. The Ainz a Kavachomer, and therefore the Kavachomer is not the same, because in the case of Bezinso Berotso, and the woman Nebuch who committed infidelity intentionally, Shabal Vihayovim Shovim Biyisuzer, here the husband and the Yovim both have the same prohibition. Habal Vihayovim Shovim Biyisuzer, they both are identical, and therefore in this situation, both of them are not allowed to stay married with her. The husband, and then when the husband dies, the Yovim can't go and do Yibum with her. And therefore, Rava's Kavachomer stands up. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ve'elu asuros milecho betruma, the following women who are suspected of being a sota but cannot drink the mesota are not allowed to go and eat truma. Ve'elu asuros milecho betruma, these women. So who are these women? Ha'omeris, if a woman says, Temeya nilecho, if the woman says, I did commit adultery, so she's Modeh, that she is an asura to him, and therefore she no longer can go and eat truma. The mesota won't apply to her because she admits that she was metama, and therefore in this situation she can no longer eat truma. She's not allowed to stay married to her husband, so she's an ashes kohen. She's no longer allowed to eat truma. Likewise, if witnesses come, shabo edim she tmeya. If witnesses come and say that she is tmeya, so the husband must divorce her in this situation, and she obviously cannot eat truma. Likewise, ba omeres. Any shosa, the woman says, I refuse to drink the mesota. She's terrified about them. She says, she could even be saying that I'm innocent, but I just refuse to drink the mesota. I'm afraid of what will happen. And therefore, in this situation where she is not drinking the mesota, so therefore, in this situation, she is no longer allowed to eat truma as the wife of a kohen. And finally, the shibala ain't a rotsilashko. So if the husband is the cause, the husband doesn't want her to go and drink the mesota. The husband has to bring her to drink the mesota. So even if she's willing, but the husband's not, so then she doesn't drink the mesota. But in that situation, the husband will divorce her. He'll have to give her a ksuba, but she's no longer entitled to eat truma if she is an ashes kohen. And the last one is Shabala Baal Abaderech. There is a prohibition. The husband and wife, once she is considered a sota, and has to drink the mesota, so the husband and wife are forbidden to have relations. If on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, they do have relations, in this situation, she's no longer allowed to go and drink the mesota. The mesota will only work if the husband, so to say, is deserving that the mesota should work. In other words, that he is clean from an aveira. In this situation, he is not allowed to go and be with her. And the pasuk says, "V'nikah ha'ish me'avon." The man, the husband, has to be free from sin. So in this situation, "Shabala ba'alah ba'derech," so then he's not free from sin, and therefore the waters will not work. It's only when the baal is nikah ha'ish me'avon, then va'isha ha'it yisoh esavonah. Then the mesota to work on the woman if she in fact committed adultery. So therefore, in all of these situations where the woman is not able to go and drink the mesota, in this situation, if she was married to a kohen, she no longer is allowed to eat truma, and of course the kohen is going to have to divorce her. Sometimes she'll be entitled to a ksuba if the husband is the one that's stopping her from drinking, but if she is the cause that she can't drink, so that she wouldn't even be entitled to a ksuba, but certainly she's no longer able to go and eat truma. That's our Mishnah. Amar Rav Amram, Rav Amram tells us, Hamilso, Amar Lon Rav Sheshes, this following memory that I'm about to tell you, Rav Sheshes taught it to us, the Anhar Lon Einin Mimas Nisan, and he showed us this a diuk in our Mishnah, he opened up our eyes. He made our eyes have light. So it's very interesting. Rav Sheshis was blind, and we use this terminology for Rav Sheshis in a number of places in Shas. It's very interesting terminology because, as I said, he was blind, and he opened up our eyes. He put light in our eyes, and he was a blind person himself. And anyway, this is the memory that Rav Arman says in the name of Rav Sheshis. And he says as follows. Sota, a woman suspected of never being a Sota, Shiyeshla Eidim Medina Sayam, and there are witnesses, but they're not here right now. They're witnesses that are far away, as Rashi says. Indeed, Ramasku Sota Sheshla Eidim Medina Sayam, Shiro Shinit Momize, they never saw her commit adultery. So in this situation, even though these witnesses aren't here, and even though we don't know about them, so in this situation, Ein Hamayim Bot Kinosa. Rav Sheshis said the waters will not work. The Mei Sota will not work if there are witnesses, even though we don't know about them. Why? My time. What's the reason? Because the Pasuk says, the Amakra, the Nistera, when the woman closeted herself away with the man, Vinitma, and she never committed adultery. However, we had this Pasuk darshened a lot already in the Masechta, the Eid Ein Ba. There weren't two witnesses, because otherwise she certainly wouldn't be able to drink the Mesota. But if there was one witness as well, then she also is not allowed to drink the Mesota. The Lekka Diyonaba, there has to be nobody that knows that she in fact was Mitama. And then the Mesota will be able to be drunk to clarify the situation. La Fuke, as opposed to, ha, this situation. The Ha Ika Diyonaba, in this situation where there are Edim, Bimedina Sayam, so then there are Edim, and therefore the waters will not work for her. Therefore, Rav Sheshis says, if there are Edim, Medina Sayam, the Mei Sota can't be drunk. Now, the Anher Lon Einin Mimas Nisan, and Rav Amram says that Rav Sheshis showed this to us from a diuk from our Mishnah. Why? Our Mishnah said, Diktani, Vishabal or Edim Shehit Meya. He said that the woman is not allowed to drink from the Mei Sota, and she is therefore, if she was an Ashes Kohen, she's not allowed to eat Truma. When there are witnesses to come, that she was Tmeya. Now, when did these witnesses come? The Asu Edim Emas. If the witnesses came, Inema Mikame Detishte, if they came before the woman drinks the Mei Sota, so of course, two witnesses come, and they say that she committed an Avera. So Zonahi, she is a full-fledged woman who committed adultery, so of course she can't drink the Mei Sota, and of course, in that situation, she can't eat Chuma as an Ashes Kohen. So that can't be the case that they came before she drank. Ella, what happened over here? Lebasar dishsoy. The woman drank the Mesota and nothing happened to her. But then witnesses come along after she drank. We didn't know about them. And the witnesses came along afterwards and said, this woman committed adultery. Now, Rav Sheshis points out from our Mishnah, E Amris, if you say, Bishlomo enamayim bot kinosa, if you hold that the waters, like I said, will not work on a woman with for which there are witnesses that she committed the adultery, even though we didn't know about him at the time, that she drank the Mesota. So if you're going to say, in that situation, that the waters don't work, so then, Shapir, we can believe the witnesses that come along and say that she was, in fact, an adulterous woman, because why didn't she die? Because the Mesota don't work if there are witnesses. But if you say that the Mesota will work, even if there are witnesses that we didn't know about, Eliyamis, Mayim Bokinosa, despite the fact that there are witnesses with Medina Sayam that we don't know about, so then the woman drank the Mesota, and she didn't die. So therefore, since the Mesota work no matter what, so then these witnesses are false witnesses. Tigali Milsalam Afreya, it should be retroactively revealed that the Sade, these witnesses, Shakri Nidhu, are liars. Because if the Mesota work, even if there are witnesses, well, the woman didn't die. So therefore, the Mesota proved conclusively that she's not a Zona. She didn't commit an infidelity. And therefore, these witnesses who say that she did are obviously liars. They can't be better than the Mei Sota. So therefore, it must be, since obviously we believe these witnesses, we don't call them Edim Shakre, so therefore, it must be. This is where Rav Amram says that Rav Sheshis proof of our Mishnah that, in fact, if there are Edim B'Medina Sayam, Ein Hamayim Bokno, so the waters don't work, and therefore we believe the witnesses. That is what Rav Amram said. Rav Yosef disagreed with him. Only Rav Yosef said to Rav Amram, wait a second, Leolam, actually, Emaloch, I can tell you that the Mayim are Bot Kenosah. In this situation, then, if the woman didn't die, so then how come we believe the witnesses? Va Emor Zuchus Tolulah, because you know what? there is another din, and that is that if the woman is a righteous woman for other reasons, she has zechusim. She was very, very, very much involved in bikacholim. She was very, very much involved in chesed activities. So she has zechusim. So yes, Nebuch, this woman committed adultery, and she's going to be punished for that, but the mei sota may not work right away. The ha'emor, we learned, zechus tolala, that in certain situations, the punishment of the mei sota will be delayed. And therefore, even though there are witnesses, the mei sota will work. Why didn't it work in this situation? Because they didn't work yet. The zechusim of this woman pushed off the mei sota from working. And this is, in fact, a machlokes. Now, b'mai komiflugi, what are they arguing about? Rav Sheshis obviously holds that the mei sota zechus doesn't work for her, because otherwise he can't say that the mayim ain't bodkin law in that situation, because you could argue zechus tolala. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says zechus can be tolala. So what is this machlokes of Michael Miflugi? So the Gemara says the misnavna the Rebbe. They're arguing about whether misnavna the Rebbe, the fact that the mei sota will work right away, albeit not kill her, but she'll become defiled in some way. Misnavna, she's going to have a downward progression from the moment that she drinks the mei sota until she ultimately dies the death of the mei sota, or not. So this is called misnavna de Rebbe. Tznan. We'll have this in the Mishnah later in the Masechta on Daf Chof Beis. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe's opinion is, yes, zechus tolala b'mayim hamor. The waters of the mei sota can be not working right away. The zechus that the woman has can push them off not to work right away. However, she won't get any bracha. A woman who was accused incorrectly of having committed adultery, and she drinks the mei sota, and she in fact was not an adulterous woman, so then she'll get a certain bracha. She'll have children if she didn't have children beforehand. She'll have wonderful children if she didn't have as wonderful children beforehand. So there's a bracha that's associated with drinking the mei sota if you're not guilty. So Rebbe tells us that yes, a zechus may not make the mei sota kill her right away. However, veinu yoledes, but it's not going to give her any benefit. Veinu mishpachas, and it's not going to make her better. The woman had certain problems. The mei sota would actually make those problems go away, as we'll learn later on. Ella, what does Rebbe say? Ella misnabna v'holeches. The waters start to impact her right away, even though they don't kill her right away. And Lesof, when she ultimately does die, she mesa, ba'osa mesa, she'll die the same death that she would have died if she didn't have these chusim. Her stomach will split open, etc. She will die eventually this horrible death because she did in fact commit adultery. It's just it may not occur right away, but she'll have a slow downward progression until she eventually dies. That is the opinion of Rebbe. And this is called Misnavna de Rebbe. Now, what exactly is this Shita of Rebbe? So here we have the Machlokas between Rav Sheshis and Rav Yosef. Rav Sheshis Savar, Bein le Rebbe, u Bein le Rabbanan. Whether you hold like Rebbe, that in fact Rebbe says, Zechus tolah b'mayim amorim, ve'eino yoledes ve'eino mishabachas, but Misnavna v'holechas. What does that mean? So Rav Sheshis says, whether you hold like Rebbe that this occurs, or being the Rabbanan that say it doesn't occur, the Rabbanan hold no, there is no zechus that will help her, and she'll immediately die with the horrible death of a sota, drinking the mei sota, if she committed infidelity, regardless of whether she has zechusim or not. So, being the Rebbe, being the Rabbanan, have your misnabna. She would immediately have the impact of the mei sota. And therefore, Rav Sheshis says, if in fact we see that the mei sota waters didn't work on this woman, the reason why it doesn't work is because there were edim, and the mayim aren't bodkin osa if there are edim. And that's why when the edim come, we believe the edim, and we don't say the edim are false edim. As opposed to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, no. Le Rebbe, havi misnavna. According to Rebbe, yes, the woman is going to go and have this immediate downward progression. Le Rabbanon, lo havi misnavna. But the Chachamim say, no, there is no misnavna. But the zechus is tola her, but there's no downward progression, but the zechus can help her for a year or two or three, but at the end of 3 years, so then she'll immediately die as a sota with the horrible death that a sota normally has. So according to Rabbanan, there is no misnavna. So therefore, when these witnesses come, Yosef says, no, maybe in fact the waters are able to be bodek her even though there are witnesses, because the zechus pushed off any impact of the mei sota until ultimately this woman will die from drinking the mei sota. Therefore, the witnesses aren't necessarily false witnesses. So that is what Rav Sheshis and Rav Yosef are arguing about. Does the woman have immediate evidence that she is Nebuchadnezzar after drinking the Nesota, even if she doesn't die right away? Rebbe says yes, and according to Rabbi Yosef, the Chachamim say no. Now, Masa Rav Shimi Barashi, Rav Shimi Barashi questions this from that very Mishnah on Chav Beis, and he says, Shimon Omer, Ein Zchus Tola B'mayim Amor. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the Zchus that she may have will not impact whether the Nesota work or not. Now, the Imata Omer Zuchus Tola B'mayim Amor, because he holds, if you say that Zuchusim can help this woman, you know what? People aren't going to believe the Nesota is effective. Madcha Atoa Samayim B'nei Chola Noshma Shosos. Other women see this and say, hey, we know she committed adultery, and yet nothing's happening to her. So therefore, the Mesota really don't work. And therefore, Atamotzi Shimra, Ahatahoro Shishasu. You know what? They're going to say, oh, that other woman who drank the Mesota, she says she's Tahora. No, she has Zechusim. And therefore, it must be that she has Zechusim that are Tola, the Mesota, from working, but she in fact committed adultery. So you're going to cast aspersions on any woman who's ever drunk the Mesota and didn't die. People will say, Zechusim with Tola. And therefore, Rav Shimon says, the women are going to say the Heim Omrim's Tameos are you, that those other women were in fact Tameos, but Ela Shatola Ham Zuchus, and therefore if you say that the Zuchusim could work, it's going to cast aspersions on all the women who ever drank the May Sota and didn't die. So therefore Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Zuchus Tolo Mayim Amar. Now, the Gemara says, V'im Isa, if Rav Sheshes is correct, that Ein Hamayim Bolkin, also if there are Edim in Medina Sayam, so Yesh Lo Edim Medina Sayam Nami Atamotzi Shemra Ahatoro Shishasu. If Rav Sheshes is right, so then the same rationale behind Rav Shimon saying Ein Zchus Tolo Lo B'mayim Amar, because it casts aspersions on the women who were in fact Tahora, so then the same exact concern would apply with Rav Sheshes. People will say, oh, she really committed adultery, this woman, but there must have been witnesses with Medina Sayam, and that's why Ein Hamayim Bolkinosa. It's going to cast aspersions on those women. They ain't Omrim Tameos Hayu. Everybody's going to say about those women, yeah, they were really Tameos. Why didn't they die from the Mesota? El Sheish Lameid Medina Sayam. So therefore, the same concern that Rav Shimon had, we should have the same concern in regards to Rav Sheishes. The Gemara says, no. The Rabbi Shimon comments, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're right, you have that concern. Rabbi Shimon, you're 100% right. Rabbi Shimon would say that just like the Zchus can't help her, so too, Edom Dinas Hayam won't impact the waters. The Mesota will still work whether she has Zchusim or whether they're Edom Dinas Hayam. But, according to the Chachamim, they do suspend. Zchusim do suspend. The Chachamim aren't concerned about Rabbi Shimon's concern, and therefore they're likewise not concerned about the Medina Sayam, and therefore the Mayim aren't going to be Bodikar if there are witnesses with Medina Sayam. Gemara tries again to shlug up Rav Sheshes. Now the Girsa we have is Masiv Rab, but in the Masoras Hashas, Oschez, he brings down that some have the Girsa over here, that this is Rava. In any event, it was either Rava or Rav. It makes more sense that it's Rava because Rava lived around the same time as Rav Sheshes. Rav was much earlier. In any event, the one who asked this question asked as follows. The Elu Shemin Choseim Nisrafos. In that Mishnah, we're also going to be talking about what do you do with the Korban Mincha that the woman may have brought. The part of the Sota process is that the woman has to bring a Mincha that is made out of barley. She acted like an animal, so therefore we bring a Korban Mincha that is made out of barley, which is animal food. We'll learn that later in the Masechta. In any event, the following women, the Elu, Shemin Choseim Nisrafos, if they brought the Mincha and aren't able to go and drink the Mesota, so their Mincha, which was Nikdash in the Kli Shares, the process by which a Mincha is dedicated is first you take the flour and you dedicate it, but it only has Kedushas Domim. It doesn't have Kedushas Haguf yet. It has the status of belonging to Hekdash, but it can still be redeemed. Once you put it, however, in a Kli Shares, it now gets what we call Kedushas Haguf, and it no longer can be redeemed. An animal that has Kedushas Haguf can't be redeemed. The only way the animal can be redeemed is if it gets a mum, and then you can redeem it. But if an animal doesn't have a mum, it can't be redeemed. If it has Kedushas Haguf, the Mincha can't get a mum, so therefore it can't be redeemed. Now we turn to Vav Amud Beis. And it lists there, if the woman says, Homer is Tamani, if the woman says, I'm Tamea, so she can't drink the Mesota, and we don't have the ability to go bring a korban mincha. So in that situation, the mincha is nisrefes. Likewise, v'shabal lo eidim shitmeya. If witnesses come along and say that this woman is a nebuch, a woman who committed infidelity, she's an adulteress, and therefore she can't drink the meisota. In both of these situations, the mincha can't be brought, and the mincha, which has been put into a kli shareis, is going to have to be burnt. Now, what is either Rav or Rava's question? The asu eidim emas. Again, when did these witnesses come that were saying that this mincha can no longer be brought and it has to be burnt? If you're saying that the mincha wasn't yet put into a kli shareis, and that's when the woman said, I'm tmeyo, or that's when the witnesses came, so then, tepuk l'chulim. So then, why can't it go and be redeemed? There's no problem over here. This is just kedushas damim, not kedushas haguf, and kedushas damim are allowed to be redeemed. If a person donates a chair to the Beis HaMikdash, somebody can go and pay the Beis HaMikdash $100, and they redeem the chair. The $100 becomes kadosh, and the chair becomes desanctified. So to over here, if the mincha had just been declared that this will be the barley that I'm going to be using for a carbon mincha, but it hasn't yet been put into kli shareis, so it just has kedushas damim, and it can be redeemed. So therefore, if we're talking here about that the mincha must be burnt, mustn't it be lebosar de kadosh? It must have been put into a kli shareis, and now it has irrevocable kedusha of kedushas haguf. And that's why we're dealing here that the mincha has to be burnt. Now, if you're telling me that the waters would in fact work if the woman had edim b'medina sayam, not like Rav Sheshes, now we understand. Alma bas mikdash u'mikravi. The woman had the right to go and bring this korban mincha because she has the right to go and drink the meisota, even though there are witnesses in medina sayam. Obviously, the meisota will kill her because there are witnesses, if they're true witnesses. So therefore, nevertheless, since if you hold not like Rav Sheshes that the meisota will work on a woman who has edim b'medina sayam, so then this is a valid consecration of her korban mincha when it's put into the kli shareis. Ama bas mikdash u'mikrafi. So she is allowed to go and be makdish this korban mincha in the kli shareis, and in fact it's allowed to be brought even though there are edim b'medina sayam because the mayim abot kinosa, and therefore this is a classical process of a sota. The ki kadosh mei kara, and therefore, when it's put into the kli shareis, it gets the kedusha saguf and shapir kadosh. It's perfectly good kedusha. O mishum hachi minchas and nisrefes. And now, if the witnesses come before the actual bringing of this korban mincha, so this was a valid korban mincha, it got kedusha in the kli shareis, but now the witnesses come, she can't drink the meisota, and therefore this korban mincha has to be nisrefes. Very good, but that's not like Rav Sheshes. If you hold like Rav Sheshes, Ela Iyamris, Ein Amayim Balkino, so like Rav Sheshes, so then, Tigali Milsalam Afreya, when these witnesses come, it turns out that she wasn't allowed to go and bring her Korban Mincha, because she wasn't allowed to go and drink the Meisota, because the Meisota don't work on somebody who has witnesses in Medina Sayam, like Rav Sheshes says. So the chi kadosh meikara. So therefore, retroactively, it appears that when they put this korban mincha into the kli shareis, bitos kadosh, it was only made hektish al toes. It was a mistake because the mei sota don't work in this situation. So therefore, she's not a sota, and therefore she's not obligated to bring a korban mincha. The tepuk l'chulin, and therefore it doesn't have kedusha saguf. According to many, it doesn't even have kedusha domin. The whole thing was a mistake, and hektish with toes is not considered toast. This is a famous sheet of Beis Hillel. So therefore, Rav Sheshes is wrong. That's the question that Rav or Rava asked the Rav Sheshes. But along comes Rav Yehuda midiskarta. I'm Rav Yehuda midiskarta. Kegon shezin so bazaret. No, the woman at the time of the placement of the mincha into the kli shareis, in fact, wasn't a zona. She hadn't committed adultery. She only committed adultery nebuch after that. Kigon shezin so ba'azara. Unbelievable. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they're bringing her to drink the Beisota, she has an affair there. She commits adultery there. And therefore, when she actually put the mincha into the kli shareis, she was allowed to drink the Beisota. She wasn't had yet committed adultery. The chi kadosh meikara shapir kadosh. When she actually put the mincha into the kli shareis, it was a valid kedusha. More questions. This says, really? Maskev of Ramasharsha. Ramasharsha says, are you telling me that this woman committed adultery in the Beis HaMikdash? Number one, she's escorted by the Kohanim. So when did she have a chance to do this Aveira? Shmuel says, Shazinsa mipirchei kohun atzman. Now, that's the one that she was mazana with one of these young kohanim. So she was mazana over there in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, yes, technically this could have happened. Ravashi says, Ravashi Omar, kigon shenitzuchol nekovel. How did she get away from the pirchei kohuna? She wasn't mazana with the pirchei kohuna, but she said, I had to go to the bathroom. So they let her go to the bathroom. After all, the otu pirchei kohuna bekipa talila, do they keep her over here inside a kippah that she doesn't have a moment's free? She said, I have to go to the bathroom. So let her go to the bathroom. No, well, she said, going to the bathroom, she was mazana. So therefore, again, according to either the pirchei kohuna who mazana her, or that the pirchei kohuna weren't able to watch her so closely, so she was able to be mazana with someone else after the mincha had been placed into Kli Sharis, and that's how the mincha actually has Kedusha. And now, when the witnesses come, they say that she committed Aveira before she drinks the Meisota, so the mincha can't be brought, and therefore it's Nisrafis. Another teretz is from her papa. Her papa Mar, Liolam Kidamrina Meikor. In fact, what we can say is that she was Mazana beforehand, and this mincha, therefore, shouldn't have been Kadosh when it was put into the Kli Sharis. Uduk Amr's table of Chulin, aye, you're saying that it doesn't have Kedusha and it goes scot-free? No. Midirabanan, we go and burn this Korban Mincha. When the Mishnah said that this Korban Mincha is Nisrefes, it's not Nisrefes on a Daraisa basis. You're right, on a Daraisa basis, the Mincha never was supposed to be brought because there were witnesses, and therefore she's not able to drink the Meisota. Therefore, there is no Korban Mincha that she brings. However, the rabbi said, nevertheless, even though this Mincha technically is Chulin, go and burn it anyway. Why? So people shouldn't mistakenly think that after a mincha went into Kli Sharis, it could lose its Kedusha. Gezeira, Shema Yomru, Motziin, Mikle Sharis L'chol. Because a person who sees this will say, hey, wait a second. I saw them put that mincha into the Kli Sharis, and now they bring that mincha out and they eat it as regular barley flour. Must be that you can deconsecrate something once it went into a Kli Sharis. And they're not going to understand it. It never had Kiddush over here. So in order to prevent this takala from occurring, the rabbis made a din derabanan. They made a gzeir over here that if the mincha was in a Kli Sharis, even though it technically didn't become Kadosh in that Kli Sharis, we're going to treat it as if it was Kadosh and we're going to burn it so people shouldn't make a mistake. That's teretz number three. However, the rabbis questioned Rav Papa. They didn't like this teretz. Masa Rav Mari. Rav Mari says, wait a second. It tells us nitmeis minchasa that if this korban mincha became tamei at shelo kitshu b'kli before it was actually put into the kli, harei he could call haminachos v'tipada. So then it's like anything that has kedushas damim and it's allowed to be redeemed. Misha kitshu b'kli, but if it was put into the kli, then harei he could call haminachos v'tisarif. So then it has kedushas haguv and it has to be burnt if it's not allowed to be brought. Now, this price continues. That's not yet the question. The Rav Mari Zitzin and Rav Papa will have a number of statements from this price, and we'll finally get to the question on Rav Papa at the very end. The second part of this price tells us, Kodash HaKomet, if in fact you put it into the Kli Sharis, you then have to take off a Kmitza. The Kmitza sacrificed on the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim are eaten by the Kohen. When you have the Kmitza that became Kadosh, Velo Hispik LaKrivo, but you weren't able to actually go and bring the kmitza. The kmitza is the handful that's taken off, that's actually sacrificed in the Mizbeach, but Nebuch Achimesu, the husband died, or the wife died in this situation, so therefore, it's not allowed to be put on the Mizbeach, so Hari Kol HaMenochos Nisari. So you have to go and burn this, because it's not allowed to be brought onto the Mizbeach, so that, as well as the Shrayim, have to be burned. That's another statement that Bryson made. Bryson continues, Kara of a Komets. If you brought the Komets, so everything was fine, below his speak, Lecho Shirayim. But the Shirayim, which were allowed to be eaten by the Pirchei Kohuna, are normally eaten then that day. But before they were able to be eaten, either the husband died, Achimesu, or Achimesi. One of them died. Either the husband died or the woman who was suspected of being assaulted, she died. So what do you do with the Shirayim? Harei he could call him an Achos, Visiachos. Since the Kemitza was in fact sacrificed, so the Shirayim are mutter, and even though the husband or the wife died in this situation, the Pirchei Kohuna are allowed to go and eat the Shirayim. Because Shal HaSofek Bo Mitchila, because it wasn't ever clear that in fact she was a sota or not. That's what she was going to drink, the May sota. And therefore, kipra sveka v'hochala. So it worked enough that in this situation, the shrayim aren't considered no good. And the pirchei kohuna are allowed to eat the shrayim. The brisa continues. We still haven't gotten to the question of Rapapa. If witnesses came along and said that the woman is tmeya, in that situation, minchosin is srefa. So again, the mincha cannot be brought because the woman Nebuch is Tmeya. So therefore, it already was in the Kli Shareis, so therefore it has to be burnt. And now we finally get to the question that Rav Mari is asking on Rav Papa from this Braisa. The Braisa continues and says, Nimtzu Eidaha Zomimim, if in fact the witnesses who said that she had been closeted away with the person that she was told not to be closeted away with are in fact found out to be Eidim Zomimim. In other words, other witnesses come along and say, how could you testify that she had been closeted away with this guy Yanko at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning? You were with us in Chicago on 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Imano Yisim. So there, the Din in the Torah tells us that the Eidim Zomimim are automatically believed. The ones who come and testify that Imano Yisim are believed, and the two witnesses who said that she had closeted herself away with Yanko at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning are not believed. And in that situation, there never was stira. So therefore, if there was no stira, there is no din of sota. And therefore, there is no din of bringing karban mincha. And therefore, it was hekdish betos. And the Braisa says, mincha so chulin, the mincha that had been sanctified or seemingly sanctified in the Kli Shareis is in fact regular chulin. It doesn't have kedusha. Now, here's the question on Rav Papa. Rav Mari says, you, Rav Papa, said that midirabanan, we say you go and burn the karban mincha anyway, because of the gzera, the people will think that once it goes into Kli Shareis, that it's going to allow to be desanctified. So you said the rabbis made a gzera. Here you see in the Braisa the rabbis didn't make a gzera. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Papa will respond to Rav Mari and say, no, Eidim Zomimim, Karmis, you're trying to bring a raya against me from Eidim Zomimim? The whole point over here is that people in a regular case of a Karban Mincha seemingly have been sanctified, but in fact when it wasn't, so they're not going to know. But here, by Eidim Zomimim, Kola Islu. This is a very unusual thing to have Eidim Zomimim, and therefore it's going to be well known. And everybody's going to know, oh, this mincha was never really sanctified, and there won't be any concern that people will think that a Karban Mincha in a Kli Shareis can become desanctified. But in the case that we had mentioned before, that there were Eidim Medina Sayam, and they only came afterwards, nobody's going to know that that happened, and therefore people are going to see that this Karban Mincha had been sanctified in Kli Shareis. They won't realize it was betos, and therefore they're going to say, oh, you can unsanctify, you can desanctify a mincha once it's been in a Kli Shareis. And therefore, the rabbis have to make a gzeira in that situation because of the potential takol. Tanya Kavasi Rosh Hashanah. We now bring a braisa that supports what Rosh Hashanah has said, that when you have Eidim, the Medina Sayam, the waters do not work. Ein hamayim botkim osab. However, the lav mitaymei, but with a different reason. He had said it was based upon the pasuk v'nistrov hinitmor, the eid ein ba. So here, the braisa is going to agree with his ruling that if there are eidim medina sayam, ein hamayim botkim osab, but it's based upon the following pasuk. The pasuk says, v'imlo nitmor ha'isha utehorahi v'niksa v'nizro ha'zora. So the pasuk tells us, if the woman did not commit infidelity, she didn't commit adultery, and then it seems to add the extra words, u, tehora he. So we have three drushes potentially, the extra vav, u, the word tehora, and then he. These are three extra words or three extra drushes that we're now going to have. So the Braisa says, tehora, the word tehora itself without the vav in front of it, that would teach us this din, below, sheyesh la'edim medina sayam. She is tehora, and in fact is truly tehora. There are no witnesses in the medina sayam. The extra vav, u, tehora, that the Braisa tells us, v'lo shetolso lo schus. And in fact, not that the waters will eventually go and kill her. There is no zechus over here that is tola for her. And the reason why the waters aren't working is because, in fact, she didn't commit any infidelity. She didn't commit this indiscretion, this adultery. And the extra word, he, utora, he, that comes to teach us, v'shalo yisu v'yitnu ba mizoros balavona. So here we have an interesting din. As Rashi tells us, the women aren't talking about her. He comes to teach us, v'lo, not that she was saved, hanitzolot min amayim, the waters of the Mesota didn't work. If it's so well known that this woman committed adultery, the women who are spinning at night are talking about her. Aide shahaya kilkula mefursam. She was so well known as being an adulteress to everybody, like kol shekvar hayunosos unesunos ba ledaber ba. And everybody's already talking about her. The muzaris bulavana means the noshim tavus bulavana, the women that are sitting outside at night and spinning and doing weaving and knitting. So they're talking about this woman who committed adultery. So in that situation where it's so well known, even though there are no witnesses, the waters will not work either. So this braisa supports this din of Rav Sheshis, that if they're Eidim Medina Sayam, Enamayim Botkum Asa, albeit not based upon the pasuk that Rav Sheshis bore, but based upon this pasuk, the extra words, U Tehora He. Three drashos, the vav, u, Torah and he, they're all extra, because the Pasuk said already, V'lo nidmar, she hadn't become Tamei, so obviously Utahori, not so obvious, the words Utahori he come to teach us these three drushes. What does Rabbi Shimon do with this? Rabbi Shimon had said that there is no Zuchus that is Tolabah, and this Pasuk, this Brice of V'lo shetosu lo Zuchus, from the word Utahora, so Rabbi Shimon, simple, Nihi devav lo darish, okay, he doesn't darish in the Vav. We have this machlokus throughout Shas, can you darish in the Vav or not? So clearly Rabbi Shimon doesn't darish in the Vav. But what does he do with the word Tahora and he? V'ha Ika, and we turn to Zayin with Aleph. This drasha of the word Tahora that Rav Sheshis' Brisa had just said, V'lo sheyesh la'edim dinas hayam. What about Rabbi Shimon's concern that people are going to cast aspersions on the Meisota and say they don't really work? And any woman that is Tahora, they'll say, you know what? This woman was really guilty, except that they were Edom Dina Sayam. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? He had a concern that we're always going to say that if she was, in fact, not Nisnavna right away. So therefore, he says that it'll cast aspersions upon the waters. Here too, we'll cast aspersions on the water. What does Rabbi Shimon do with that? So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem over here, because Lo Shchicha, this is not something that happens on a regular basis. There are Edom far away that we don't know about. And therefore, that's not going to be something that people are worried or concerned about. Lo shlicha, as Rashi says, v'lo maski inshe adatayu l'mechshedinu l'tahoros b'hochi. That people aren't going to say, oh yeah, you know why that woman, she really committed adultery. You know why the water isn't effective? Because it was edim b'medina sayam. People aren't going to think that because it's so unusual. This is a great place to stop. With this, we conclude today's shir.